little child shall lead them. So true. Well, praise God this morning. I got to get my notes straight, even though they don't really help all that much. We've been going through a series, What It Takes to Be Great, and Pastor Brandon very carefully and lovingly talked to you last week about living life and how you can get caught in being a Pharisee, in the sense of living a Pharisaical life. It was a great job, a great message that he gave. But we've been walking through it's what it takes to be great. And today we're talking about achieving character success. And, you know, I got to tell you, I prepared a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm not going to get through the stuff today because it's I'm going down a different road than I anticipated completely. And that happened to me like about an hour and a half ago. I just love God. Oh, yeah. You know, I came across this cartoon, and it has a point, and I just want you to see this cartoon for a moment. Just put it up there. I hope it's there. There we go. What you doing today? Nothing. You did that yesterday. I wasn't finished. And you know, as I read that, I thought about often that's how we think. That's how we think, isn't it? What are you up to in your Christian life? Nothing. I thought you were doing that yesterday. I'm not finished. Is there something wrong? Am I plugged in? Oh, yeah, because you know I'm going to move, right? You know, we think sometimes. At other times, we do nothing. What you think about affects your life. Did you hear me? What you think about affects who you are every day of your life. If you want to change your life, you got to change your thinking. Say that with me. If I want to change my life. Okay, that was that side at the back. Say, if I want to change my life, I need to change my thinking. Yeah. You can all go home. Really, that's all you need. Oh, you're all excited now. Great. We're done early. Teacher's letting us out. You know. I'm going to, you know, I was actually going to get us to look at a different passage, but I really felt led about Genesis 4, and then I only was going to allude to Genesis 4, but this morning I got to preach from Genesis 4, and I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 1, and it's a great passage of Scripture that says an awful lot about how we think. What we think about. Genesis chapter 4, page 3. Just so you get it, your pew Bible. Your chair Bible. We're going to have to change that. Blue chair, we're going to have to put burgundy chair. I don't know. Anyway. Genesis chapter 4. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother, Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering. But on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The death of Abel was in the mind of Cain long before it happened. You see, achieving character success is necessary in order to live a godly life. And your successful character is wrapped up in selflessness. If you're selfless. You see, to be a success in your life, you need to quit thinking about yourself and what you want. And you need to trust God for what you need. And here, if you look at verse 4 of Genesis 4, "But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast." Have you ever seen anybody who's really unhappy? You know, they're not going to... They're not like that. "How are you doing?" "I'm angry." Your whole demeanor changes. Your facial expressions become hard. And you look like, "You got to give me what I want." And that's what Cain was thinking. "God, you don't get it. I'm older. I've worked just as hard as Abel. Don't you see it, God? Don't you get it?" "Oh, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix this. I know how to get my way. Abel, why don't you come out in the field with me?" When you start thinking too much, I'll tell you what happens. You start not only to dislike God and what he's doing, when he deepens you closer to him, but you start hating what's around you. Cain became downcast. It means that his whole demeanor changed. It's amazing what happens when you present yourself, when you come here collectively and present yourself as a living sacrifice. You're saying, "God, I will keep my eyes on you." You don't just sing about it. You do it. "God, I don't know why you're accepting this prayer. I don't know why this person's going deeper. I don't understand why that person's doing..." You don't even go down that road. You start saying, "God, I'm starting to question. I don't want to be downcast in my soul. I will keep my eyes on you." That's selfless living. You're thinking only of God. And when you think only of God, you love one another. I love the Love One Another project. How many of you are really into it? 4 of you, great. Plus 6 elders. The Love One Another Project is important because we need to live it. And you can't love one another without loving God first, without keeping your eyes on Jesus. You can't love one another without Jesus. You can do all the other things. You can do lots of things without Jesus, but loving one another is not one of them. When we're busy loving other people, we're too busy to grumble about them. And Cain was busy loving for himself, loving what he wanted. Cain grumbled a lot about God, and he grumbled a lot about Abel. See, I don't really particularly like my message today. Because I too grumble about people. And God has done some surgery in my life and in my heart, and you know, and he's pulling stuff out, and I'm going deeper with him, and as I go deeper and deeper, the Cain complex almost gets greater and greater. But wait a minute, it's for me, God. It's all about me. And God says, no, it's not. It never was. It never was. I love how Hebrews 11, verse 4, and I think I put it up there, the Message Bible. By an act of faith, Abel brought a better sacrifice to God than Cain. It was what he believed, not what he brought, that made the difference. That's what God noticed and approved as righteous. After all these centuries, that belief continues to catch our notice. It's what you believe. It's what you believe. This is critical to being a success. God wants you, but he wants you selfless in offering yourself to him. May I keep my eyes on you. God, I keep my eyes on you. You know, I got to tell you a story. I had the great privilege of, I flew yesterday and last week, and I got on the plane and I had my seat. You know how you can select your seat because you want to get what you want? And so I selected my seat. And I did it beforehand, got my ticket, and I go on the plane, and I'm walking down and the aisle, you know, the flight attendant said 12D, I like the number 12, and I like D because it's Devon, you know, it makes sense to me. So, and I'm going down the aisle, and as I'm going down the aisle, and I'm kind of scouting out, and I'm thinking, and you know what we do? We know where our seat is, but we're scouting out to see who we're going to be beside. You do know that, right? That's what we're doing. I mean, oh yeah, that's okay. I can probably sit there, you know. And as I'm walking, I notice all the aisle seats are taken, except at the very back. And I'm going, is this an aisle? I'm sure this is an aisle seat. So I kept going down, and I get to my spot, 12D, and there's this lady, this senior lady. She's just sitting there. She looks up at me. And I said, hi. She said, hi, you want to get in? I said, well, actually, I'm in 12D. Just a minute. So she gets out, takes her a little bit. She gets up, and she goes, there you go. Did you want the window seat? I asked her. She said, well, no, I don't want to take your seat. I said, no, but I said, I'm actually on the aisle, but if you want, I'll go in. No, I'd rather have the window seat. I thought I was out here. She said, I'd rather. So she squeezes in, and she's got the window seat, and that was actually her seat. That's where she was supposed to sit. So she's sitting there, and I sit down and, you know, I pull up my headphones because that's what you do now. It's all about you, so you just want to watch TV. And so I pull up my little headphones and I'm starting to find, and she goes, do you live in Vancouver? And I said, excuse me? Do you live in Vancouver? I said, no, I don't. You live in Saskatoon? I said, no, I don't. Then what are you doing on this plane? I said, well, no, I'm from Prince Albert. I said, I drove and, you know, I go to, and she said, oh, okay. So anyway, she starts in, and she said, guess what I was doing? I live in Vancouver. I said, oh, that's nice. That's really, what were you doing in Saskatoon? Well, she said, I was at a rug hooking convention. I said, really? She said, yeah, I love to rug hook. You know, she said, I'm probably, I got to be careful how I say this. She's very good at what she does, she said. And she... Oh, man, I gotta be careful with my story. She says to me, I gotta take a drink because I'm starting to get high here. She says to me, it was so exciting. It was so great. What do you do? Pardon? She said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, you're gonna love this. You're gonna love this, she said. she said, I get to Saskatoon. And you know, those younger kids have taken over our rug hooking. She said, those 60-year-olds, she said, they just came in, and she said, they kind of took it all over, and she said, we had to do something per province. It was really quite refreshing, she said, actually. I said, oh, is that ever nice? She said, yeah. So she said, you know what I did for us BCites? I said, what? I wrote songs. I said, is that ever neat? Yep. I play the ukulele. Well, why don't you get it down? It's up in the thing. And I'll sing you the songs. So she's got her little ukulele, and she, you know, but then, you know, you have to put it away. I mean, she, you know, the 10 occasions you have to put it away. And she, okay. And then she goes, but I wrote these songs. Do you know My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean? I said, yeah. You do? I said, yeah. She said, well, I wrote a song about that. And I will not repeat the song that she wrote about it, but she, because I can't really recall it, but I know there was a word hook in it. And she was excited. She loved life. She said to me, she said, you know, it's wonderful when you think of other people before yourself. I said, what? She said, it's so wonderful and refreshing when you think of other people before you think about yourself. We got off the plane. I got off the plane, and, you know, she's got her, I'm helping her with her stuff, and she's, you know, walking, and we get out, and she, her family's there, and she, come on, you gotta be a pastor. And they're like, oh, hi, Mom, or, yeah, hi, nice to meet you, and, you know, she said, and we had a great conversation. I learned a lot about him. I thought I never said a word. And she knew about me because she had a selfless attitude. And it was contagious. She had a sincerity in her heart to help people, not try to change them into what she wanted them to be. Successful character is selfless. Successful character is also submissive. And I'm going to say submissive to God. I want to add that because you need to get that. I don't want you to go down a road of, well, I need to submit to those people. I need to submit to my spouse. I want you to go down to submit to God, okay? Because only a person that lives in submission to God can serve the way Jesus served. Only a person who is in submission to God can really care enough about another person the way Jesus does. And unless you're free from the need to have a reputation, to have your own way, unless you're free from what people think and what they're going to say, then we really can't serve the way Jesus did, because we're always going to be pressured like Cain. Because Cain was pressured for position. Cain was pressured to, I need to have the best. I need to do this so that God will be pleased with me. But it wasn't the right attitude. It was with the wrong thinking. It was so Cain could look good. Submitting to God is not easy. And submitting to God requires sacrifice. And it requires giving up what you want. But I'll tell you what, submitting to God means that it's the best for your life. Because God will do what he needs to do in your life so that you will be successful. So, you know, if you run into a person who's miserable, who has that kind of countenance about them, that character, you've run into somebody who's really running from God. And there's nowhere far to run from him. You cannot run God. His love is too great for you. He will not let you go. No matter where you go, he can find you, and he will speak into your heart if you listen. If we listen. You know, Jesus said in Hebrews 10, and it's a great, great verse, he said, "Father, here I am. I have come to do your will." Abel had the same attitude. I will do what you want me to do, God, not what I want, not for prestige, not for my interests, but I will think of the interests of the other person. I want you to just take a moment. And I'm going to ask you this question. Just close your eyes, just for a moment. I want you to get visually in your mind someone. Just somebody. I don't know who it is. But the first one that pops into your head, just look, just in your mind, mind's eye, just carefully look at that person. That person. And then I'm going to ask you a question. Do you see them as Jesus sees them? Or do you see them for what they can do for you? Just look at them. Now, I want you to get a picture in your mind of somebody that you really don't like very much. Put that person in your mind for a moment and answer the same question. Do you see them as Jesus sees them? I like what the Apostle Paul said. In 2 Corinthians, he said, before they gave their money, they first gave themselves. And I think if we were honest, there are a lot of people who'd rather give their money rather than themselves. Let's pray. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, bow your heads and close your eyes. Just ponder for a moment how you submit to God. Do you submit to him like Cain in that I'm bringing this because I want to be first? I want to be noticed. I want God to just notice me and promote me, and this is all about position, Cain really was saying. But Abel just gave himself. He gave everything really in his heart that he had. He believed God. Cain believed in God. But Abel believed God. And Abel knew that he couldn't change anybody, only God could. See, Abel knew that as he came into God's presence, that was enough. It didn't matter what was happening around him or who was there or what was happening. But if he came into the presence of God, Abel knew that that's all he needed. Unlike Cain who just thought, I believe in God, but I want this position, I want things my way. I want things to be the way I want them to be. And when we don't get it, we become so downcast in our soul. And that just leads to further sin, like killing your brother. Philippians chapter 2 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God, why are we so often like Cain? Instead of focusing on you, we focus on what we want. God, may we be more like Abel. Concerned, Lord, not about ourselves, but by coming to you. Believing you, loving you, being your arms to help the weak stand. Lord, having your same heart of loving those, even though they may not be able to give us anything. Lord, may we have that mind that thinks not about nothing, but thinks, Lord, only about you, as we present ourselves as living sacrifices, the acceptable offering, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in your name, we pray. Amen.